and welcome back to Customer Marketing Catch-Up. Today, I'm going to be talking to Dean Lindsay, Product Marketing Manager at Third Bridge Group Limited. We are going to be talking about how to launch a great fintech-focused customer advocacy program.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Customer Marketing Catch-Up. Today, we are joined by the wonderful Dean Lindsay. Hello, Dean. How are you doing?
Hi, Eve. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Happy and very excited to be doing this episode with you. So today we're going to be talking about how to launch a great fintech-focused customer advocacy program. So this is a very good opportunity to think about very industry-specific strategies and things that can help with customer advocacy. But first, before we get into the big spiel of that, why don't we start learning a little bit about you, Dean? What has been your experience with customer marketing in general? When did you first discover it? What has been your experience with this particular industry and job title?
Sure. Well, I'm a B2B marketer. I'm specializing in customer and product marketing with a passion for customer advocacy and telling a brand story for your customers. So I started out in marketing around about B2B marketing around 10 years ago, having started at EE prior to that, having transitioned from call center management roles and having worked for well-known brands such as Checkout.com, 8x8 and Intuit QuickBooks. And I think even prior to where I am now, I think I would have always had a passion for customers, where I was managing call center teams with customers calling up to call their broadband, or trying to articulate ways to, you know, I guess, help them with their queries, keep them as customers. And so I've always had that real passion for customers. And in transitioning to marketing, it's something I wanted to do for quite some time. And advocacy is a real passion of mine, and telling, you know, a brand story through the customer and learning about their needs as well.
Mm. I think you have a lot of experience talking with customers one-on-one, with call being on calls and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a real eye-opener. And I guess it really gets you to, I think, an important aspect of advocacy, which is listening.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most important part, and really understanding your customers' needs and challenges.
Yeah, which is, of course, incredibly vital for advocacy programs, given the types of customers that you're going to be working with in those types of programs. So I think, to start us off in the conversation, why don't you kind of walk us through a couple of initial steps that any business should take when launching a customer advocacy program in general? What are the kind of key milestones that should be hit in order for such a program to be successful?
Well, I think when you're starting it, I think it's really important from the very outset to get the relevant key stakeholders in on those initial discussions. So your leaders from marketing, sales, customer success, account management, and really making sure that, you know, you're setting out clear goals as to what you want from a customer advocacy program, what a great customer advocacy program looks like, and ensuring that, you know, they're in line with your business goals. You know, really thinking about your ideal customers from your existing customer base. So those big brand names that you'd really want to be a part of it, the type of size of customers, the type of verticals, use cases, those sort of things. And also, the type of assets you're wanting to create from that, whether it be appear on webinars, to create video customer stories with them, written customer stories, blogs, appear at events, etc. And then agree across the business how you're going to recruit those customers as well at launch and on an ongoing basis. So, you know, getting the buy-in of all of those teams who are interacting with customers at all times, and understanding how customer advocacy and really selling that to the business about how it can enable all elements and teams across the business as well.
Yeah. So almost a vital milestone in terms of which people to get involved internally, externally, and then obviously what to do with those people. And I think a lot of people, I've heard experiences quite a lot of the time where people are told that that a company wants an advocacy program because they've heard it's a good idea. And the question is kind of then, well, the why has to really be answered for that. Is it a good idea because they want to make more profit? Well, then why is an advocacy program the answer to that kind of thing? So
exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I think, I guess leading on from that, I mean, I kind of maybe hit on one, is that kind of like a lack of direction for setting up an advocacy program. But is there like one really, really, one or two even really, really common mistakes that you yourself have seen with like setting up an advocacy program? Like either if there's, you know, someone else, you know, or even a mistake that you know that you've made and then learned from?
Well, I think a common mistake and one that I've learned from is definitely around that getting everyone on board from that very initial conversations rather than having two or three conversations and then bringing everyone on board.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a common mistake is not getting the buy-in of the entire business and support of the relevant leaders. And what I mean by that is I think when you look at advocacy, you have to think about it as an always on approach with multiple teams interacting with customers to really try and get you that pipeline of real, you know, enriched customer stories. So I think it's really important that you're thinking of it as an always on strategy. So a great customer advocacy program is one that enables your sales team that when they're having those conversations and sealing those deals is to be also talking about advocacy to them at that point, to have that conversation in 2 to 3 months' time, once onboarding has done and they're having a good experience, to start that advocacy conversation from then.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably the key things you need to look at, is thinking of it as an always-on thing, which a lot of companies and programs can forget to do, and also not getting that initial buy-in from the entire business.
Yeah. So almost sounds a bit like, you know, I think when people in general think about advocacy, there's always a very assumed specific customer target audience that you want to then hit with advocacy. So I think it's really interesting that you say, like, even from like those first sales calls, to have advocacy within everybody's minds. Because I think a lot of the time when these kinds of programs are bought up, they're often bought up as an add-on, as a, oh, we need to do something for our existing customers to kind of keep them engaged, to kind of help this kind of, you know, back and forth relationship. What can we do for them? What can they do for us? So it's really interesting, yeah, that you say that, because it's one of those, like, thinking about from the very, very first step of even somebody being a potential customer, the aim of having them become an advocate, even from that first conversation, would you say?
Yeah, I think that that's the best way, because I think advocacy, you want to effectively have a pipeline of customers where you're able to reach out to create assets with. And I think if you think about it in the way that if you're having those conversations from sales rather than while they're in life, I think it helps actually the sales team, because a lot of the time the sales team will be asking for particular customers, use cases, verticals, customer stories, if you see what I mean. And I think if you're having those conversations from the outset, you're really then able to, before a customer even starts, you're already growing a pipeline then. Then you obviously have your in-life pipeline from your account management, customer success teams, where those are having consistent conversations, where you're able to, you know, bed into, you know, I guess, get them to be part of the advocacy program. And I think that's the best approach. I think if you're really getting everyone on board, you're then getting a pipeline rather than being in a situation whereby you're chasing stories, as it were. You know, you don't have that pipeline, and that's where it can become challenging.
Yeah. And I guess that's why the importance of kind of getting that buy-in from particular stakeholders is so important, because if you always have this kind of one-way conversation with sales saying, look, I need customer stories, I need customer stories, and you're kind of going, well, I need to kind of scramble around and try and find these customers that are willing to get these stories from. If you have sales actually going, oh, I've had this great call with this potential customer, I think this could turn into something really fruitful, then that person's or that customer's name, that title is already there in your mind for you to kind of start working with.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's where the program has its most success. And I think also, you know, the great thing about advocacy as well, if you're getting sales on board, you can also have parts of it whereby part of that advocacy is when sales are, you know, telling internally as to how they got a sale as well. So in terms of how they actually got that sale and then how they've then made advocacy a part of that pitch as well. So yeah. I think it's important to also be thinking about how you're branding that advocacy program externally and internally as well.
Yeah. Fantastic. So I think we've hit upon some really, really interesting points with advocacy programs in general. And so now I kind of want to focus, specialize down a little bit more into the kind of sector that you have quite a lot of experience in, which is fintech. So kind of my next kind of point of question is, do you think there are any kind of unique challenges or unique opportunities when establishing this kind of program within fintech compared to any kind of other industries? Other industries.
I think it can be, I think there are challenges in terms of sometimes what you really want to focus on is in your fintech space, what are those key metrics that you're looking for? So, you know, payments, it might be something like an acceptance rate, and how are you bringing those metrics to life? So that's where in fintech, it can be a little bit more challenging. But again, what's important from the outset is that when you're creating that customer advocacy program, you're making it clear as to what metrics you wanted to get from those customer stories, you know. So for example, in expense management, you're looking to talk about time savings and those sort of things as well. So I think the metrics can be a little bit more challenging, but I think if you have those conversations from the outset, and make sure you're shaping those questions correctly when speaking to the customer, I think you can get to those. So sometimes they can be a little bit more challenging than other verticals and sort of sectors.
Yeah. Do you have any like specific metrics that you've worked with yourself that you think work particularly well?
Yeah. So I think if you're talking about payments, you know, you really want to be talking about your sort of acceptance rates, your fraud rates. Those are kind of the key things in terms of what differentiate, you know, one payments leader from another. And for example, in expenses, you're really talking about time savings. So what's the ROI of the time saving you've done? So when you're doing month-end reconciliation, how much time is that saving? Therefore, how much money is that saving you?
Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of automation overall, so if you're using an expense management platform, rather than say, you know, petty cash, how much time is that saving not only you, your finance leaders and your teams? So those are the kind of metrics you want to dig down to, and then that's when you can really bring a story to life, when it's kind of like, okay, this is where we were, this is where we went to when we joined this company, and this is, you know, the results in terms of the time savings and those rich metrics. So I think that's always a really good way to approach those customer stories to get those metrics as well. You know, the before, the sort of during, once we've, you know, picked that provider, and then the after, the results.
Yeah. And so I guess kind of moving on to that, with that kind of like challenge in mind, I guess, you know, metrics can be very much a numbers game, and I think can kind of narrow people's focuses quite a lot of the time if they're worrying so much about metrics. So I guess in terms of kind of how advocacy then plays into that, what would you say are the best ways that you have found to kind of sell or kind of promote an advocacy program to internal teams? Like, how have you kind of said, you know, look, this is something that we really, really need to be working on, because this will, you know, for the long run, like, bolster up all of our different teams together?
I think customer centricity is a bit of a buzzword that is said a lot. And I think when you're really talking about customer centricity, I think you're really talking about customer advocacy and how you message your product to the customer, as opposed to with, you know, it being jargon rich or complex language. I think that's what you're really talking about. And I think I use that sort of as the benchmark in terms of when I'm then selling an advocacy program internally. So, you know, it's, and for me, and I think the biggest thing is there's no better way to tell a story than through your customers. You're not selling it in a marketing sense or a sales sense. This is a customer using it. This is the challenges they had before. This is how this product has supported them and really helped them in their day to day. And these are the results that they're actually seeing in real life. And I think whether that's written or in a video, there's simply nothing more powerful. So I think that's how I sell it, you know, whether that be showing an example of a customer speaking at an event, and that, and that could be someone else's event, by the way, and how it really brought it to life, and how from the back of that, they got a lot of leads, you know, a lot of conversions and a lot of customers from that in the end, or just simply by having a really rich asset that you can use in cross-sell, upsell, demand gen, or however you're wanting to. That's how I usually sell it back into the business.
So, you know, I think that one of the great things is about selling an advocacy program internally is that it's very much a kind of blueprint of how you then sell it externally as well, you know, customer stories kind of all along the way. And like, I guess kind of with that kind of thing as well, and making it very specific to particular teams, you know, why is this going to help make their job easier? How is it going to help them reach their kind of metrics? And, you know, I guess I think one of the great things that I've found about advocacy is that if you can sell it to your internal teams by having them take a step back and look at the kind of the whole story, the whole journey that makes up kind of your business, your customer journey, everything like that, then they can kind of see exactly why doing something at the very end of the journey helps a team that's working on the very beginning of the journey.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think the internal part as well is, you know, as a marketer, it's also important, you know, you're effectively selling it internally to different teams. So for example, when you're selling it to sales, you know, this is to give them those great assets to be able to, when they're selling to a company, they can, you know, share a story which has got a very similar use case, or is it a similar vertical or a similar size. So when they're having those conversations, they're able to share those assets. And then also a part of an advocacy program, such as customer reference calls, whereby you're having existing customers speaking to those prospects. That's a really great and powerful way to help get those customers over the line. For marketing, you know, it's multiple assets. You can cross-sell and upsell, help with win-loss. And also for customer success, you know, you're able to almost use them as engagement pieces in terms of, this is how a customer is currently using the product that's similar to you that could really help you as well. So, yeah, it's almost you're selling it differently for those different internal use cases as well.
And so, I mean, I guess that kind of comes on very nicely into my next question. We've kind of already touched quite a bit on it. I mean, it's kind of how advocacy then interacts with marketing, you know, talking about, you know, getting buy-in for the initial advocacy program, selling it to these internal teams. Once we've kind of got that program up and running, my question is kind of like, how do you then, I guess, market to advocates individually than you would say like a, you know, loyal customer or a returning customer? And then how again do advocates market for you? This is a very broad question. So maybe some examples, fintech specific even.
Sure. So I think fintech as very much, you know, I think use cases and customer stories are a really powerful tool to elevate you from others. And I think the ones that are doing it best are the ones that are doing it via video and I guess via more digestible ways. So I think that's kind of a really good way to sell it. And I think keeping it as interesting as possible. And I think that's where a video customer story can sometimes be more compelling than a written. But even then, how are you presenting this in a slightly more interesting way? To really let those metrics bounce out, whether that be, you know, through interesting infographics over the top or however you present that. And I think that's really important as well, that you're not just doing this in the mundane, obvious way. Really try and think about how can you set this story apart.
Yeah. So you always got that case of like, you know, so many people have interviewed for a written case study. So many people have written a case study for particular customers. So many people have had a look for case studies. And, you know, I think there's definitely like kind of content fatigue that you get quite a lot of the time is if it's all the same thing, then there's no unique variety or aspect that is kind of making your business stand out from anyone else's. And that kind of goes the same for creating case studies, creating these advocacy programs. You know, what is it? How do you format it? How do you present it that makes it specifically yours, I guess?
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's where you need to be getting, you know, brand involved, tone of voice, all that sort of stuff. And I think where you can try and be as creative as possible, I would suggest to try and do that just to really help with that differentiation as well.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess jumping off of that point, you know, presenting and publishing kind of like customer stories, things like that, how do you navigate kind of compliance and privacy concerns when kind of featuring these testimonials and these success stories? You know, I mean, I've encountered it myself as a copywriter, this kind of finding the fine balance between what you can say about a particular story without giving certain details and that kind of thing. How do you navigate that?
That's a really good question. I think the first thing is that you can only be, and you should always should be, you're only as comfortable, you know, as, you know, as the customer wants to be. So some are a little bit more comfortable than others with sharing certain things. Usually the best way to get around it would be talking about percentages as opposed to amounts,
right?
You know, an uplift of 10%, a time saving of 20 hours per month.
Yeah.
You know, we're able to increase X by 20%, so on and so forth. That's usually, I would say, the best way to go around it. But I think as with all assets and with all, you know, content creation, it's all about approval. So it's a two-way thing. You know, you'll have the first draft, you'll share it internally, you'll then agree on what needs to be agreed, you then share it with the customer for their thoughts and feedback to then get to, you know, that fifth, sixth iteration to approval, to make sure everyone's happy and everything is compliant. And we would never, you know, particularly even more so in fintech, you're never going to do something that is going to, you know, impact yourself or obviously your customer. So always mindful. And I think always having that two-way conversation, you know, being very clear from the outset, clearing, you know, sharing those documents with the customer and, you know, for their approval and to make sure they're happy with it.
Yeah. And I guess the upside of those kinds of things really is that when you are dealing with kind of current advocates, you're dealing with customers that you already know very well.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, that those kinds of approval processes should at that point generally be pretty seamless and quite quick in terms of that. Because it sounds quite daunting having to do all of these really, really big steps. But with a customer advocacy program, that kind of thing kind of gets negated by the fact that you have this good relationship with the customer.
Exactly. And, you know, I guess in many respects, it's an even better relationship in some respects than most customers, because not only are they having a good experience, they're also comfortable sharing their story with you. So yeah, you've already built that relationship, and you know that that conversation should be ongoing at all times, even more so with those customers probably.
Yeah, and kind of goes back to that that wonderful case of if you start investing in that relationship as early as possible, you may end up with more than you expected at the end, more that they're willing
yeah.
to. Yeah. Wonderful. So I guess kind of to round out this conversation, this kind of final last question is really about how to navigate industries that kind of evolve rapidly as well, as you know fintech tends to do. So how would you set up a customer advocacy program that is adaptable and that can stay relevant and aligned with these kinds of evolving industries?
Question. I would say, like everything, and particularly in fintech, you need to be, you know, adaptable to change and flexible.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to ensure that it's catering for the business needs. So, you know, the advocacy program, like all activities, should be effectively in line with your your business goals, you know, your business you know, sayings, or north, for want of a better term, North Star.
Mm.
It should always be rolling up to those, and it needs to be in line with that. So I would say that you're always speaking to brand, speaking to, you know, your CMO, your leaders in marketing, sales, the owners, yeah. depending on the size of the business, just to ensure that this program is in line with those business goals and is delivering assets that are in line with the business in terms of tone of voice, you know, what we pride ourselves on, so on and so forth. So it's important, again, just to, and again, it comes back to that business buy-in across multiple teams, where you need to just be making sure that you're continuously having those conversations, that so it's supporting the business and promoting the business in the best possible way.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic way to end off, really. I think that, I mean, that's true for so many industries, and it goes back to the wonderful heart of, you know, customer centricity, as that kind of buzzword is conversations between individuals really are kind of what gets these things done and successful, really.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. This is kind of like come to the end of the session today, but it's been a really, really interesting session. And actually it's been fantastic for myself to be able to kind of go through things, you know, linking other conversations that I've had in other podcasts with the things that you've had to say today. So thank you so much for joining me, Dean.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's been a great chat. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this special episode of Customer Marketing Catch Up. Make sure to check out our socials on LinkedIn and Facebook to get clips, thoughts, and roundups of the events. If you are interested in attending one of our upcoming events, you can find our events calendar at events.customermarketingalliance.com. Thank you.